8 o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. Some really good. Colorado Mesa, they win the South Central Region. They're part of it. Now they go on to the Super Regional at Angelo State this Friday. That's kind of the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. It would have been nice if UT Tyler could have pulled off the upset.
Thanks the Mavericks, for nothing.
Then the Mavericks would have been playing here this weekend. Good that the Nuggets winning on Saturday. Chance to close it out tonight. Do you think the Nuggets will get it done? We think they'll get it done tonight. So you can text or call us on that and more. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340. Great weekend for Daniel Brumbe. Also, Shalom Trowbridge, Miller Jones, all winning state championships. And for Daniel Brumbe, he wins two. Shalom Trowbridge came really close. He came really close to getting two. And then Daniel Thomason takes second in the high jump after he won it last year. And he's only a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I saw where Kirby Henderson, we've had Kirby on before, Cedar Ridge's longtime track and field coach. This is his last state track and field championships, Kirby. Congratulations on what's been a phenomenal career coaching track and field athletes at Cedar Ridge. So I want to acknowledge that. This hour of the Jim Davis Show brought to you by Preston Lee at Country Financial. Believes in building relationships, supporting the community, and serving others. Have a chat and let him help you protect the things that are important to you. Google him at Preston Lee Country Financial. All right, so the good, the bad, the ugly. Rockies, that was ugly.
Yeah, it was.
A rough three-game series in Texas against the Rangers. So text or call us today, 970-242-1340. All right, like I said, we'll play the number game coming up. Your chance to win a case of Coors Original, the banquet beer from High Country Beverage. We're into the 8 o'clock hour, so it's time for a little...
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, before we talk about the Broncos and other league notes, we do need to acknowledge the passing of Jim Brown. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, running back in NFL history. Some would say the greatest player in NFL history.
I've heard that.
So here's just a few things about Jim Brown. Selected 8 times as a first-team All-Pro. Brown also averaged 5.2 yards per carry, more than any other running back with at least 2,000 career yards. He had 9.5 yards per catch, which is more than any player with the exception of Gale Sayers at 11.7. MVP 3 times, probably could have won it maybe every year.
More than that, yeah.
Only running back in the history of the league to average 100 yards rushing per game for his entire career. He also, in his 9 seasons, led the league in rushing yards and yards per game in all but 1 year, 1962. He also broke 1,200 yards rushing 7 times in his 9-year career. 3 of those times were 12 game seasons. And he was the first running back to ever reach the 100 touchdown milestone. Also, the only player ever to lead the league 5 times in all-purpose yards. Jim Brown was pretty damn good.
Yeah, as a player, he was incredible. Person is a little...
And we're going to get to that.
Yeah, that's a little less clear, right? But, I mean, as a player, he was dominant. He was probably the first... just unstoppable player in the NFL.
And there's a really good piece on him on The Athletic written by Jason Lloyd about his relationship with John Wooten. John Wooten is a Colorado tie, played mm-hmm. for the University of Colorado Buffalo's offensive lineman, and they drafted him in 1959, so there was a close relationship between the two of them that also played a role in when they assembled the famous Cleveland Summit, which Brown hosted in 1967 to support Muhammad Ali's refusal to serve in Vietnam. And, of course, we know the story, at least most people do, not everybody does, about his decision to walk away from the game at the age of 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He was in his prime, three-time MVP. Browns wanted him back for camp. He was filming the movie The Dirty Dozen. He said, no, you're going to demand that I come back? Then fine, I'm done.
Right.
And I'm going to be an actor. And would go on to be an activist. And walked away from so much left undone as far as what he could have done on the field.
His last season, 1965, or last dominant season, Gale Sayers was second in the league in rushing yards. Jim Brown topped him by almost 700 yards. Like, Gale Sayers was second at like 870. Jim Brown ran for 1550.
Yeah, the numbers are incredible. I listened to DA coming in this morning.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks Jim Brown's the greatest player ever in NFL history. And while Tom Brady's really good, he thinks Tom Brady, because of the longevity of career, he doesn't even think Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever. Greatest stat accumulator, hung around enough to win championships. I'm not as dismissive of what Brady's accomplished because
hung around.
Yeah,
come on, DA.
The numbers, particularly
he didn't Trent Dill for the last.
Yeah, the numbers, particularly after age 40, when you're supposed to go right in the crapper, right, were incredibly good in some of the best of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not nearly as dismissive of Brady as DA is.
Right.
But what Jim Brown did in the short span that he did it in was truly impressive, and you can make that case, and I'm not going to say you're wrong. Him being the greatest player maybe in NFL history. And
in 1958, Alan Michi was second in the NFL in rushing yards with 791. Double that, and he beats Jim Brown that year by 40 yards. Jim Brown outrushed him by almost 750 yards. In 12 games, he rushed for nearly twice as many yards.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Jim Brown is one of the greatest players, and you can say whatever you want about any of the other stuff. That's fine. That does not discount or disqualify how good of a football player he was.
And getting back to the Dirty Dozen film that ultimately that ended his career,
mm-hmm.
because the Blanton Collier, the coach of the Browns, wanted Jim Brown in camp. Movie wasn't done. Jim Brown said, I made a commitment to the film. I'm staying here to finish the film, and if you want to find me, great, but I'm not coming back. Then fine, I'm not coming back. Art Modell's the one who helped Jim Brown get the role in The Dirty Dozen, so you mm-hmm. think maybe Art Modell was probably some remorse there about setting up his star running back with a film role? Probably so.
Yeah, or he set him up so he could get rid of him. Kind of like he wanted to get rid of Paul Brown and all of the people that were more important and more beloved to the city of Cleveland than he was.
And he was the best player in the league.
To Art Modell, I don't think that matters.
That may have been the case. But, you know, the Browns had a history, as a lot of teams did then,
mm-hmm.
of everybody got treated the same way. Everybody got treated the same way. And that included one, Jim Brown, who, an incredible football player, incredible, one of the greatest NCAA lacrosse players
mm-hmm.
ever, activists for social justice.
Jim Brown's still 11th all-time in rushing yards. He retired almost 60 years ago.
And he's still in the top 20. But then there's the point you brought up.
And he only did it in 9 years.
Yeah, which we can't leave off the table here.
Not a great human being. Did some activist work. That's good.
Was an abuser.
That's bad.
Did it was a, you know, a tremendous influence in the black community,
mm-hmm.
in equal rights, social justice, and then had a history of domestic violence and battery, sexual assault it's almost impossible to ignore. As mm-hmm. great as Brown was on the football field in serving the black community, he was an absolute monster otherwise.
Yeah.
As far as two women, his relationship with women. And I know people like, oh, we build people up to tear them down. Sometimes people tear themselves down.
Jim Brown tore himself down.
And Jim Brown, while we applaud him and salute him for the great things that he did, mm-hmm. you can't leave this out because these were reprehensible things that he did.
Did he turn it around? Did he continue this all the way into the grave? I don't know. I don't know what his relationship was like with women the last 30 years. But I know the first 40 years wasn't great. And that's part of it, too. He was a great football player. He's the best player in that franchise's history. Almost twice. You know, his right leg is the greatest. His left leg is the second greatest player in Cleveland Browns history. He's also got a list of kind of scumbaggish things.
I mean, this went up to the year 2000.
Yeah, so it was his first 50 years.
Where he went to sentenced 6 months in jail after he refused to attend domestic violence counseling as part of a sentence for smashing his wife's car. And that's some of these. That's one of the lesser things that, mm-hmm. that he did. And like I said, I mean, our goal here is not to speak ill of the dead. But when the now recently deceased have done bad things,
yeah.
You don't get to have all the accolades and greatest mm-hmm. football player in NFL history and all this stuff without the, yeah, might have been the greatest player in NFL history, but was a kind of a class A scumbag when it came to women.
Yeah. And I have a Jim Brown jersey. It was partially debated that in my own mind, like, yeah, I'm going to wear my Jim Brown jersey. Jim Brown died. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know when I will again. It's a little kind of weird to have that
yeah.
on when that's as big a part of his resume as anything else. I don't really want to celebrate is not the word I want to use, but I don't really want to celebrate the player when all of that comes around with
because
it.
All the thing,
and I'm having to deal with that yeah. currently with current Browns, and
right.
that sucks.
The good thing, I mean, the Black Economic Union, which he created to provide financial resources for folks looking to buy a home in the Black community. We're looking to buy yeah. a home. It was a pathway for Black citizens in Cleveland to be able to do that, to start their own businesses, to buy their own homes. That's an incredible thing that he did.
But it's
the Mayor I Can Foundation, which empowered trainees, particularly those who were gang members, to take a better course in life. Incredible, wonderful things, right?
Absolutely. But it's also, to me anyway, and this is just me, no one else has to feel this way. Those make it even more depressing that he gave yeah. strangers that chance, but not the women in his life that chance.
That he treated the women in his life, physically mm-hmm. abused them. Yeah, it's just...
You can't even run the... That's that generation. They didn't know better. You can't even use that excuse.
Because
he did
it from 65
for everyone else.
Well, yeah, exactly. Look, he did it from 1965 to the year 2000, where yeah. he had accusations of sexual assault, mm-hmm. domestic violence... Those things
you just
were charged against him.
You can't take all those things away. It now, doesn't take away a single yard that he gained on the football field. He was a dominant, great NFL player. Could be one of the best players ever, but this is part of the story.
You know, one case, his lawyer said, well, this woman was trying to extort money from him. Another one, there weren't enough witnesses. But after a while, it becomes a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a pattern, and he had a pattern. And if there's a pattern, that usually means that's consistent with who you are and your behavior. So while we applaud the good things that Jim Brown did on the football field, helping the Black community, not a great human being all around by any stretch of the imagination.
No, not at all.
All right, so we move on. Pro Football Focus, they have released their off-season grade for the Broncos. Terms of improving this football team, they give the Broncos.
Did they play the season?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, what they did to improve the team. No, they haven't.
No. How do we know if they did or not?
Well,
until they play
just games. At least on paper, okay.
I'm with you. I'm poking at them, not you.
Mr. Weisenheimer. Denver's biggest offseason move, according to Pro Football Focus. What was it? What was the biggest move?
Riley Moss, actually. I saw that over the weekend.
Sean Payton, but oh, that's what they're this is what they're saying. Though Riley Moss was a really good pickup.
He's down the list a little bit, I thought.
But and they did a good job drafting Marvin Mims. They feel like he has a chance to be making a big impact a receiver. The other picks that they of course made with Drew Sanders and with Skinner and with Riley Moss. So A minus, okay. You got McGlinchey, you got Powers, Zach Allen, Samaje Perine. It was a good free agent haul for the Broncos, addressing obviously the offensive line, big need. So okay, sure, I'll go A minus. I'll go with Pro Football Focus on what they've done this offseason. They did address needs.
Yeah, it's an incomplete. I just don't know how you know how good it was until they actually.
But you do this for every team, though. I mean, everybody's
they're all incomplete.
Yeah, everybody's incomplete. So
the NFL. It's May, so the NFL has to have stuff. So
well, yes. Yeah, so
I don't know.
Do you not understand that concept? I get it.
I do.
I get what you're saying.
Also realistic in the
but
fact
you have
that,
to. But you can also sit there and go, okay, what did they do right? What did they do wrong? And I think for the most part, what they did was right.
Did they upgrade? Absolutely.
That's all.
Grade it. I don't know how you put a definitive. Because if they go out and go 5-10, did they upgrade? Or 5-12? Sorry. Did they upgrade? No, it's the same thing as last year. They completely broke.
All you can do is talk about what. They did at the moment. What they've done in the offseason.
Yes.
Did they make A-minus good moves? Yeah. If you want to put a letter grade on it.
Yeah.
Sure. Sean Payton, the draft, free agency, yes. Also, The Athletic, they have a piece out. Which NFL players are the ones to watch at offseason workouts? They picked a player from every team. For the Broncos, who do you think that player is?
Russell Wilson.
Ding, 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 ding.
Watch him get courtside seats to the Nuggets.
Sitting next to
plays
Justin
like a
Simmons.
Section 315 guy gets courtside seats.
Who is it for your Browns?
Deshaun Watson.
Ding, 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 ding,
it's
ding.
It's got to be the quarterback.
It's
got to
be the
right?
quarterbacks, yeah.
Every team that didn't make the playoffs, it's got to be the quarterbacks. For the Jets, it's Aaron Rodgers. If he's going to be there or not.
You would think he would
have
be there.
To be. Even though he said what? He'll be at. More than half is what he said initially.
You know what? Take a guess who they have for the Jets.
Sauce Gardner.
No.
Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Joe Namath.
No.
I'm out of Jet. Oh, Garrett Wilson.
Wave Eubank. No. He was a coach, not a player. Mekhi Becton, the offensive tackle.
I forgot he was a Jet.
Yeah.
To be honest.
So that's who they have as the player to watch in off-season workouts.
Speaking of Jets, offensive linemen, and then I know this is topical. But didn't it seem like just 5 years ago, DeBrickashaw Ferguson was drafted, and everybody's like, this kid's going to be a bust. And then he plays 11 years and retires.
Yeah.
You're like, wait a minute. Hold on a second. You're checking your watch like, wait. There's no way that guy played 11 years and retired 2 years ago. And you're like, didn't even notice. I had no idea until he's popped up at the draft. Like, former Jet? Like, since when? 2 years ago.
Oh.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Who knew? Yeah,
these
exactly.
are just random thoughts that I remember from a month ago.
Thanks for bringing them up
with
today. I appreciate
Mekhi
that.
Becton. I'm like, oh, that's right.
So, as we continue around the NFL, J.L. Skinner, rookie safety out of Boise State. He's a big guy, 6'4 by 215. Mm-hmm. Been compared to Hall of Fame Bronco safety Steve Atwater. J.L. Skinner doesn't really know who that is. 6'4, 209, excuse me. I gave him a few pounds. Skinner said of Atwater, yeah, a lot of people have been telling me about him. I still have got to look him up, but I see him in the indoor practice facility, so he's a legend, obviously. A lot of people have been telling me about him. Something that they see, I guess. they see me with him or something like that. But being compared to a legend, that is kind of crazy. I'm going to look him up some more and look up a bit more film. But this is my first time hearing about him. Okay, so you didn't know he was a legend until you were told he was a legend?
Yeah, I can understand that.
Okay. I guess, number one, with J.L. Skinner, I applaud him for just being honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know who he is. Heard he's really good. He could have just, yeah, of course. At least he's being honest that he doesn't know who Steve Atwater is.
Right.
But then at some point, don't you kind of know he's a Hall of Famer? He plays for the team. He plays the same position you play. Wouldn't you have at least some...
I mean, if he's been here for 5 years, I understand that. But I would like to assume he's had other things he's had to focus on. Since Steve Atwater retired in 99 and J.L. Skinner was born in 2001.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players that were really good before I was born. I don't know anything about the NFL. They got gold jackets. Never once saw a play from any of them. And if you tell me they're great, sure, I'll believe you. And maybe I'll get around to looking it up. You know, but it's like, if he's been here for 5 years and then he still is like, I see him. I never really went back and watched him. Then we might have a problem there.
Yeah, I just think that there is the, and I hate to, because it's going to sound like the old man on the lawn. A little bit of, I don't really, like Peyton Manning knows the history. He knows who Otto Graham is. There are guys that do care about that. And there are guys that just don't care about that. That isn't their thing. And
I have no idea which one J.L. Skinner is. By that one comment, I can't say definitively that he cares or doesn't. He just doesn't know who Steve Atwater is.
I just think it's just kind of a trend of a lot of guys that they just, knowing the history of the game, knowing great players, maybe it's a younger generation thing, I don't know, that a lot of guys they just don't care that much.
I can't begrudge a guy from San Diego who's 21 or 22, however old he is, that he doesn't know one of the best players from my favorite team that's across the country that maybe he's not a fan of. I just don't know if that's something you can indict his love of football history on with, this is one of the greats from my favorite team. How do you not know about it? How does he not know about Foghorn Leghorn, whoever the guy is for the Browns?
Foghorn Leghorn?
It's
I say that was one of the greatest of all times for your football team.
How does he not know who Webster Slaughter is? He was a great for the Brown in the 80s. He's not going to know that.
But Steve Atwater is a Hall of Famer. He's not Mike Harden. Okay.
I'm just saying the people that know enough about every Hall of Famer are much rarer than the 22-year-olds who know
them. This is about, though, the position that he plays. And he says he's seen him in the facility.
Yes, he's been a Bronco for 3.5 weeks.
Maybe Steve Atwater should go over and talk to him. I'm not trying to bust on him here. It kind of seems like, wouldn't you have kind of a clue? But I look, what was the first thing I said? I applaud his honesty.
Yes.
He could have just, he's great. He's fantastic. Who the hell is he? He was like, I don't know who he is. I hear he's really good.
And
I applaud him for at least, I'd rather you be honest about it than.
I just don't know whether I can't indict his love of football history on that one comment. That's all for me.
It's one thing, though, to not know who Kenny Easley was for him. But this also is a guy that's safety, Seattle Seahawks, Hall of Famer.
Exactly.
Anyway, so but
team
I'm just
saying, I don't cheer for.
I'm just. But I know he's a Hall of. Nor do I, obviously.
Right.
But I know who he is.
50. You also got 58 years. He's got 22.
Yeah. But he also, this is a guy that plays his position. That's a Hall of Famer, a fairly recent Hall of Famer.
Right.
As far as going in.
J.L. Skinner's been a Bronco for 3.5 weeks. I would much rather him focus on the playbook who's that dude up there on the banner?
Nobody's saying he's going to dive into Wikipedia or whatever, Pro Football Reference, and spend all of his time looking up who Steve Atwater is over opposed to learning Vance Joseph's playbook. I'm not saying that. Let's pump the brakes on that there. I'm not saying
I'm not the one saying that it sounds like he doesn't love football history because he doesn't know who.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'm a little surprised. No.
That's what you said. You said you can tell guys love football history like Peyton Manning and these guys. J.L. Skinner doesn't know. So the inference is there.
But wouldn't you know? Okay, fine. But wouldn't you know who the greatest player on the team you now play for? Wouldn't you have at least kind of an interest of who that might be? Or yeah, I heard he's around the facility. I'm sure somebody probably said, hey, Steve Atwater's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I would have taken 5 seconds to look him up and go, oh, yeah, he was pretty good. I'm just saying that. I'm not trying to crack on him as a human being or his love of football history or lack thereof. He does. We got to wrap this up here because just going to go because you're not going to move off your spot and I'm not going to move off mine. I just come on. Wouldn't you at least take the time to at least look him up? That's all
it wouldn't
I'm saying.
Matter if he wasn't drafted to the Broncos a month ago.
Well, it takes 5 seconds to go into Wikipedia or Pro Football Reference and look.
But you
up
know
somebody.
those fans. You only spent 5 seconds on Steve Atwater?
Well,
you know there's some of those.
I want to at least know who he is. Like, okay, that's who he is. Great. I don't expect him to know every... He was from Arkansas, and he played quarterback one time. Because remember, he told us he played quarterback when in high school, I believe.
J.L. Skinner did?
No, Atwater.
Oh, Atwater.
I don't expect him to know everything about Steve Atwater. Maybe just know that he is a Hall of Famer that played in the same position that Skinner played.
The time he's 56, or however old. That he'll know as much about Steve Atwater as you. At 22, you didn't know anything about Steve Atwater.
Well, let's see.
Not loving the history of the game is what that.
So it's 22. I don't think he was in the league yet. So
that doesn't even matter.
Shut up. Okay. This is where you just get a shut up.
Yeah. I heard that one coming.
All right. Also, to wrap it up here with around the NFL, will Roger Goodell get the votes this week to force Thursday night football flexing? Because he came close in March, came 2 votes shy. Mm-hmm. 22 yeses, 8 noes, 2 passed. Wasn't an official vote. And so the measure was tabled for 2 months. So a vote is expected this week. And Raj, apparently, according to reports, feels like he's going to get enough votes. The possibility of flexing Thursday night games, which we've talked about.
It's a bad idea.
Seems like an awful idea.
It's a bad idea. This is worse than putting a playoff game on Peacock. I'm serious.
Yeah.
For the long-term health of this game. And
because a game on Peacock doesn't affect players' safety.
This is worse for the sport than a playoff game behind a paywall.
Yes, I agree.
That's it. I mean, this is a bad idea, and everyone should vote it down.
But looks like there's a decent chance he's going to get the votes to make it happen. Mm-hmm. All right, quickly, USFL scores for those of you that care.
They're still playing.
Memphis beat Pittsburgh 22-0 on Saturday. The Pittsburgh Maulers are 2-4.
Dang,
the Showboats are 3-3.
How do you get shut out by a third-tier football league defense?
Ask Pittsburgh.
Dang.
Your defending USFL champions, the Birmingham Stallions, are 4-2. They beat the Michigan Panthers 27-13. Stallions 4-2. Panthers are 2-4. The New Orleans Breakers, after that hot start,
they've
cooled off a little bit.
Man.
They're now 4-2. They lost to the Philadelphia Stars, who don't play in Philadelphia, 16-10, or to the Breakers.
Hayden Fox on the hot seat? Question mark.
Hayden Fox
coming up on the get-ups.
Dauber and Luther Van Dam all in the hot seat.
Should fire their offensive coordinator.
Philadelphia with the victory over New Orleans. They're now 3-3. And then you add the Houston Gamblers, minus Jim Kelly, beating the Herschel Walker-less, Doug Flutie-less New Jersey Generals 16-10. Gamblers are 4-2. The Generals are 2-4. There you go. 8:29. Time to play the number game.
Let's play the number game on the Jim Davis Show.
Yes, first correct answer on the Chick-fil-A text line, as always on a Monday, is a case of Coors, the banquet beer from our friends at High Country Beverage, week 5 of not killing one of their employees almost. I'm pretty
good
happy about that.
Good job, way to keep
new
that trend going.
New personal record, we're killing it there. Pardon the pun.
Not killing them.
That's true. Nuggets Lakers get first correct answer on the text line. It's always a number. So if you send me, like, Lakers, you're going to be wrong. Nuggets-Lakers game 4 tonight from Los Angeles. Obviously, the Nuggets won game 3 Saturday night. including Saturday's win, how many playoff games have the Nuggets won at the Lakers? So the bubble win does not count because that was not at the Lakers. How many playoff games have the Nuggets won against the Lakers in Los Angeles, including Saturday night's win?
Okay, so first correct answer, go to the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Win a case of Coors Original from High Country Beverage. Two things. If you won the last 2 weeks, don't play.
Yep.
Also, if you're not 21 or older, don't play. Simple as that. 831. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Cuckoo and loony and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team. Talking Grand Junction Tiger Sports on the Jim Davis Show.
And with us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line to talk about the upcoming Grand Junction Tiger football golf tournament, the Tiger Classic, June 17th out of Tiarato, Assistant Coach Jared Frazier. Jared, good morning. How are you?
Good, Jim. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Appreciate the time as always. So we have it coming up on the 17th at Tiarato, your big fundraiser golf tournament. Got some great prizes. You can do some drawings. It's $100 per person to play. Four-man scrambles of $400 for a team that includes a round of golf, cart, and lunch. Give us some more details about the upcoming Tiger Classic golf tournament.
Yeah. So it'll be Saturday, like you said, the 17th, and we're filling up pretty fast the last week. So we got like 30 teams, and I think they can only fit 36 on the course at Tiarato. So we don't have a ton of spots left, but we're still taking sponsors and raffle prizes and stuff like that. So if anyone was interested in donating, they can just get a hold of me or Coach McKee.
And you're looking for example, $2,500 title sponsor, $1,000 sponsor, $500 sponsor, $250 sponsor. So there's, for any business that wants to support Tiger football, that there's a lot of different opportunities for them to get involved.
Yep. There's the whole sponsor one, like you said, it's $250. And I was going to kind of read the list of the ones we have already. Mark sure. Miller, Ed Bozar Chevrolet is going to be the title sponsor again, along with Jerry's Outdoor Sports. We already have those two. And then we have quite a few $1,000 ones. River City Consultants, Ivan Gear, Instrum's Candy, Blythe Engineering, Brad McLeod with Xcel Energy, Peter Eisenogle, GJ Chrysler, and then... the other thing I wanted to get to is the social we always have the night before, where a lot of the old players in town come and hang out, or supporters. We're going to do it at Wrigley Field this year on the 16th at 6 p.m., and they're donating quite a bit of stuff for us for that, so that helps out.
I know you guys invited me a couple of years ago, really enjoyed it, and Marcus Harris, of course, that played at the University of Colorado, former NFL player, former Tiger, was in town for that, and so it is great to have those former Grand Junction players that are out there and part of it, whether it's golfing or just at the social.
Yeah, it's good when those guys come out, see the old players. I think Marcus is going to try to come this year still. He usually plays with Justin Walterscheid, but Justin has a camp for Northern Colorado, so he can't make it. So those two are kind of tied at the hip when it comes to golf. So I don't know if Marcus will make it.
So it's a 1 o'clock shotgun start, and you said spaces are filling up.
1:30.
Is it 1:30? Okay, the flyer said 1:00. Yeah, I'm sorry. Bad. That's okay. 1:30 coming up on June 17th at Tiarato. It's the Tiger Classic golf tournament to benefit Grand Junction High School football. And I mean, how necessary is it to have this kind of support? Because look, dollars are thin for everybody at the high school level these days, regardless of the sport, and football's not a cheap sport to play, Jared, so this is really an important thing for your football program, not just the bringing together of the Grand Junction football community, but also what the dollars mean to this current group of Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, the district gives us what they can, but it's not enough to fund football. So, I mean, helmets now are $400 a piece, so every year you kind of phase out some helmets that are 10 years old, and you have to replace 10 to 15 helmets. That adds up pretty quickly when they're $400. And then you got a half of our season, we go to Denver for league play. So all that adds up. So got to make quite a bit of money. But
so if you're
the support we get from the community is great.
Absolutely. You're talking with Jared Frazier, assistant coach for the Grand Junction Tigers football team. So if you would like to be a sponsor, you can contact Jared. And fine if I mention your phone number, Jared?
No, that's fine. Yeah.
It's 970-712-2986 or Coach Landon McKee, 970-210. Assuming Landon's okay with me saying this too, correct?
Yeah.
2192, 970-210-2192. If you want to get a hold of Landon McKee, if you're listening and you own a business and you want to support the Tiger Classic Golf Tournament, contact Jared or Landon about doing that. So I do want to mention you have one of your players signing today that Sean Gill is going to play at Adams State. So congratulations to Sean. What does it sound like his future looks like in terms of playing at Adams State?
Just his overall length. I'm sure he's going to be like a defensive end, possibly tight end. I don't know what they run offensively, but I told him his best, you know, path to success at that level is probably defensive end because he's kind of a leaner kid. So I don't know how much weight he'll be able to hold on to play like O-line. So I would assume they're looking at him at the defensive end, but I haven't got a chance to talk to any other coaches about that stuff. I just kind of sent him the contact info, and then you kind of let the kid do it from there. Because those coaches want the kids to make sure they're interested to do most of the work these days. So he's had those conversations in private. But yeah, excited for Sean.
Yeah, he has a signing today over at Grand Junction High School at 11 o'clock. And of course, I was over there for Miller Jones when he signed a kick at Colorado Mesa. He's also going to run do track and field. And how about Miller set the school record in the long jump recently and then sets a state record in the long jump this past weekend over at Lakewood. So Miller Jones, one of your football players having a strong finish to the track and field season.
Yeah, that's cool. You got two state titles, right? I think you won long jump and triple.
I believe that's correct, yes.
I checked it the other day, but yeah, we wish we would have had Miller a couple more years earlier to get him in the offense a little bit more. It's hard when you're a brand new player and you never really played before and you get kind of, you know, football, but you don't really know the ins and outs. So we couldn't get him involved as much as we wanted to last year, but he was huge kicking for us.
So right now, of course, we'll do our camping segments throughout the course of the summer with you guys, all the rest of the football programs, likewise for basketball and baseball and others. But what's the offseason look like for you guys right now, Jared?
We're getting ready. We have a freshman camp this week, right after school, 4 to 6. We have a really big freshman class, so we wanted to get them going, and that's this week. And then next week we get ready. I think we have 7 practices up and leading up to Western camp, which is June 8th, 9th, and 10th, I believe, or 8, 9, 11, or 9, 10, 11, somewhere in there of June. So we'll be going up there, and there's some good teams going to that camp, so we'll get a good look at what we got coming this year.
All right. Hey, Jared, I appreciate it once again. If you're interested in participating, and there's, once again, space is, being gobbled up rather quickly to play in the Tiger Classic June 17th. But if you have a business and you like to sponsor a hole or be involved in some other kind of sponsorship aspect, you can call Jared at 970-712-2986 to be involved in the Tiger Classic June 17th at Tier Auto. Hey, Jared, always appreciate it.
Oh,
thank
Jim,
you.
I had one. I had two more. I forgot. Sorry, that was on my list.
Go ahead.
DJ Golf. He does $1,000 sponsor, and he also gives like a driver, 3-wood type deal, and a rangefinder as raffle prizes as well. And then the other one that's really cool this year, I forgot, Cody Rourke. Is he with Mile High Sports now? I know Cody well.
He's Mile High Sports, and yeah, he does the works for Locked On Broncos. Yeah, but yeah, Mile High Sports. So
yeah, I've known him forever, and he got us a Patrick Sertan signed jersey to auction off. Not auction off, but we'll raffle it at the end. So we're going to do a separate one for that one. So
that's fantastic.
That's a cool prize we got this year.
Well, very good. Yeah, we talk to Cody every Wednesday on the program. So, great to see Cody helping out. He always gives a little Go Tigers for you guys, too, at the end. So, yep. By the way, you mentioned Ty at GJ Golf. Buckeye, you have our winner for our PGA Championship with GJ Golf. Since we got Jared here, let's go ahead. And...
Speaking of Grand Junction Tigers, his son, a great baseball player for the Tigers, Tim wins with Brooks Koepka pick.
Tim Ochoa, congratulations. Pick Brooks Koepka, and so Tim gets that Wilson driver
all
from Tigers, GJ Golf.
All the time.
There we go. At least this hour, anyway. Hey, Jared, appreciate it. Tell Landon hi, and we'll be talking to you guys soon.
Will do. Thanks a lot, Jim.
All right, take care. There's Jared Frazier with the Grand Junction Tigers football team.
And he was right. The long jump and triple jump state champion, right. Miller Jones.
I think I might have left out the long jump on
Big
that.
Big jumper guyer, Miller Jones.
Miller had an incredible senior season in track and field. And went out and did the hurdles, I think like the 110 hurdles. Finished fifth, and he's like, I'm just going to go out and run it. Because he qualified for it.
Yeah.
Because he qualified for a several events. Couldn't compete in all of them because of time restrictions, but still went out and finished fifth in the state. And really, the thing is, that's not his best event. Obviously, it's the field events. It's the triple jump and the long jump. All right, 8:43. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Text or call 970-242-1340. So do we have a winner yet for the number game?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Jim, first in the door with 4 times.
All right.
It has been completed. Do you know any of them outside of this last Saturday? All-time playoff wins at the Lakers.
Oh, if I remember right, they got up like 1-0 the first time they played them back when they joined the league. Like in 77, 78 or something like that. Say 85.
85 is one of them.
When they had Chauncey and Mello.
09, Western Conference Finals, Game 2.
Yeah.
So 85, Game 2.
Okay.
Western Conference Finals.
I went too far back in the first.
09, Game 2. Western Conference Finals. Western Conference first round, 2012, Game 5. And then Western Conference Finals Game 3 of 2023.
Okay.
There you go. There you have it.
Congratulations to Tim, the winner of our GJ Golf PGA Championship. He wins that Wilson driver from GJ Golf. Stop by and see Ty today over at Fisher's Marketplace. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have our Browns cremation and funeral service. Good call, bad call. Also, Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs. That's next. This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
It's the Western Slopes home of Colorado sports. Come on! This is the Jim Davis Show.
It's Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. Send that to us today. The ugly, all this, the smoke from the Canadian fires, I would definitely would make the list. You can text or call us 970-242-1340. This hour of the Jim Davis Show brought to you by Preston Lee at Country Financial. Believes in building relationships, supporting the community, and serving others. Have a chat. Let him help you protect the things that are important to you. Google him at Preston Lee Country Financial. It's time for Browns cremation and funeral service. Good call, bad call.
Was that a good call, or did they totally blow it? It's good call or bad call.
All right. Carmelo Anthony announcing his retirement. Averaged 22.5 points per game in his career. Carmelo Anthony, all-time Nuggets history, is third. He's going to get passed by Nikola Jokic, who's right behind him. But Melo's third all-time behind Dan Issel and Alex English. Should the Nuggets find time to pay tribute to him this next season?
Yes.
I get the history is not great. He wanted out of Denver. Nuggets make the big trade to bring in Danilo Gallinari and others. But I'm in agreement with you, though. He's one of the greatest players in Nuggets history.
Mm-hmm.
He got them to the Western Conference Finals. He's their third all-time leading scorer.
He's on the 75th anniversary team.
It's a good call. For the Nuggets, regardless of what the history might be. Enough time has passed. They need to pay tribute to Carmelo Anthony, who is 9th all-time scoring in league history. He's one of the greatest Nuggets of all time.
He's been gone far longer than he was ever there.
Yes, he was only there 8 seasons.
You know, yes, it's time. You're not going to retire his number.
No.
Can't do that because somebody else is going to get it retired for himself.
Exactly.
First. You know, but yeah, definitely should have some sort of moment. They should have probably done it when the Lakers came to town last year. Should have probably had a moment for him.
But that time, though, he hadn't retired yet, so we didn't know. Probably would have been... The writing was kind of on the wall.
Right.
But there was some talk that even this year, he's 38, he might go and play for the Knicks again.
Yeah. Should have had like a video packet. Should have it ready. He's been gone for 11 years.
But I think in this case, I'm not going to condemn them for that.
No, I'm not condemning. I'm just, you know.
Now they can have a night where it's just about him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be in an opposing team's uniform or anything like that.
He does the credit union first shot or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a nice tribute and hopefully a really nice ending to what started as a fantastic relationship with Nuggets fans and Carmelo Anthony, went bad, and hopefully can end on a positive note.
If you're going to give Nolan Arenado a standing ovation, you should probably welcome back Carmelo.
Absolutely.
Because at least Carmelo got the team on the doorstep of the finals. No LCSs. For Nolan Arenado.
No championships ever for Melo, by the way.
I'm just saying. No championships for Melo either. Good call, bad call. ESPN should probably do away with their Eastern Conference analytics with the Celtics 65% chance to win Game 3. Didn't quite turn. Scored 65 points.
That's a bad call.
That's good call. They should get away with it for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
But a bad call
to run that
bad
number
call
out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Running that number out there.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, that's Brown's Cremation and Funeral Service. Easy for me to say. Good call, bad call. Brought to you by Brown's Cremation and Funeral Service. Call them today, 970-255-8888. It's a good call to call Brown's to get your funeral arrangements or your loved ones' arrangements taken care of. It's a bad call to wait until it's, well, that day has arrived. All right, 8:51. And our final Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs for this season. Let's go ahead and do that. Some Prep Stars.
I got too many things planned.
That's okay.
There we go. No one can
stop us now. It's time to let the stars shine. The stars. It's Prep Stars on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, a lot of these are guys because a lot of male athletes did really well this last weekend. Daniel Brumbe wins the discus and the shot, sets a state record in the discus for the Central Warriors, going on to cover the state. Miller Jones, state record in the triple jump, but he wins the triple and the long jump for Grand Junction High School.
Shalom Trowbridge finishing second in the
800
and winning the 1600. So go get some. Yeah, absolutely.
Another one, Riker Harsha, even though Palisade did not get past Summit in a huge upset. He had 9 strikeouts against Central.
He had a stellar season. They may not have gotten him a decision because they played some tight games, but he had a stellar season. He kept that team in it for the offense to kind of wake up more than once this season.
He picked up a win against all 3 of the Valley teams this year.
Yeah, he did.
No Palisade pitcher's done that.
No. It sounds like he owns the deed. To the Valley. He owns the Valley.
He does. He owns the Valley.
Absolutely.
All right. Time for Mighty Mavs.
The best of CMU sports. It's Mighty Mavs on the Jim Davis Show.
I know that he got tossed, but Christo Stefanos.
He got the heave-ho.
He had himself a nice South Central Region tournament. A couple of home runs. Hit one on Saturday.
He hit one every day.
As well.
He?
Believe he did.
He hit one your game Friday night.
He went in yours.
His went Thursday night and on Saturday.
Yeah, he had a home run in all 3 games.
And you know what? Only one ejection. That's good.
That's good.
Not great, but good.
We don't know what he did to get ejected, but he got tossed.
Yeah.
But they still won.
He got the heave-ho, and I'm going to also give a little bit of a prep starter, Anthony Durbano. Couple of 2-inning saves Thursday night to send Lubbock Christian packing. And then Saturday to send St. Edward's packing. Got a little squirrely there at the end. Down 3. The Hilltoppers hit a long, very, very long, but way foul ball down the left field line. Could have tied the game up, but Anthony Durbano getting the job done. Armek, first team closer, slamming the door.
All right, so that's Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs, our final one for the season. And, of course, we'll have it coming back your way when we get back into high school and Maverick full sports season with everybody doing their thing. All right, so we got a good, bad, the ugly from Dylan this morning. The good, the Michael Block story and his hole-in-one on 15 yesterday. The bad, the Rockies, the ugly, Jeff Van Gundy.
I don't think Van Gundy's the ugly. I think Mark Jackson's the ugly.
I agree with that.
Van Gundy's been pretty good.
Let's see. From Chris, congrats to Braden Wingett. Colorado Mesa baseball headed to Super Regionals. We talked about this weekend.
Yeah.
His little brother, Preston,
yep,
is going to be here with Salt Lake Community College.
Yes, he is.
So, Preston will be in town.
Braden won't be.
Braden will not be. Braden will be on the road with the Mavericks in San Angelo, Texas. All right. That's Hour 2. Hour 3 coming up next on the team.